Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you are listening to Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio in Studio B, live on blogtalkradio.com. Here in the Sierra Nevadas in Northern California, and we've been contending with a few little tree downs here and there, but nothing like last year's storms in December. So just a nice cold night. Was good eating tonight here. We had nice hot soup and a few things to keep us nice and warm here when I got home. I actually canceled last night's impromptu show. Had a chance to go out to Spencer's house and catch up on some cases. It was a last-minute thing, and I jumped out and took the chance because we got another case knocked off, and we found some new evidence from a case in July. So, jumping in ahead of myself, my name is John Almada, and I'm the host here on Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio on Sundays, and not Thursday nights anymore, Friday nights. I'm Soul Stream, and on Thursday nights I'm with Kathy on Kathy's Distant Echoes. And tonight is a kind of a general all-around night. We have my special guest is my co-host and good friend, Kathy Bradshaw. She just happens to be calling in. My God. Is she here?
I'm here.
She's in Virginia, out there in Virginia. Hello. Hello, my friend.
Hello.
Yeah, so tonight we're going to kind of have a general all-around chat night. Really not so much anything doing anything of, quote, interview nature, but, the phone lines will be open. People can call in and talk about ghost sightings and stories or things that they've seen or concerns they have. My friend Christy in Florida was just sending me some notes about a picture she wants me to check into. Karen is out there. I see Karen. We got Quinny, and she was just sending me some notes. And Rob Ghost. Hi, Rob Ghost. Good to see you. And all the lurkers out there that are just listening, good to see you guys. But, tonight it's just going to be a little bit of everything. But, Kathy, since it's basically dedicated to you, what is going on with all the things that are happening with your show? We can probably start into some of that, because I see you with Nick quite a bit. Talking about some of the changes coming up and earth changes and things like that.
Oh gosh, we have a very well rounded show over there. But he's been talking about a lot of changes, but he's saying it at different perspectives or different thoughts of other people as well, letting others know what all the talk is all about and how it differs with different people. So yeah, and you come on and you say a lot of wonderful things about the paranormal world and you're flying. Lucky Josh.
Yeah. Well, is there anything that he's been covering lately? I mean, I haven't had the chance to be on too often, and I'm kind of remiss, but I'm going to be catching up. Once I get this evidence stuff done, I can actually get back to socializing a bit. I mean, I'm really just jumping on, the shows, doing the shows, and then I just turn around and I start processing evidence, and it's just, I mean, our backlog is, I'm whittling it down. I mean, it's starting to look less intimidating now that the cases are starting to process faster. But I just kind of miss what's going on out there. So I hadn't actually gotten to listen to you guys for a while. And I just wondered what was
okay.
Yeah, it's just, Nick pulls in a lot of neat stuff. And, you know, his channelings and things are pretty good. I mean, he picks up some neat stuff. So I just kind of miss hearing him, you know. And I miss the Wednesday shows, too. But I think we're going to be a little bit before I can get back into that. You know,
I did hear from Danichi last night, and he does want to get back into Wednesdays again. The reason he's been away for a while is him and Anthea from After Dark Radio has been writing a book together. He's been helping her in getting that squared away, and she's almost finished now. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And he wants to come back, and I told him many times, this is not the kind of show that you feel obligated to. Just when you find the time, let me know, and I'll schedule a show on his spot.
Well, I miss hearing from him too. He's quite the passionate character, and he's been through some amazing stuff in his life. And just to hear him talk, you just can't believe that some of the stuff that he's been through. A very interesting man, and somebody I'd like just to get to know better. You've kind of, pulled us all together, and, even though we kind of go off our ways now and then, we always gravitate back towards you. You're kind of the center of the earth for us, it keeps all the shows rotating. It's true. I mean, if it hadn't been for you, I wouldn't be doing half of the stuff I'm doing. Your influence is a mighty powerful woman. So.
But no, Dominica, she's coming on Sunday, and she's going to be reading angel cards.
Really?
Among other things, she even has dog cards. So that's going to be a really interesting show. Of course, she's an interesting lady anyway. I just love having her on. But Quinny now, she has a great show as well, and that's tomorrow at 6 tomorrow. Usually it's 5, but we changed it to 6 for tomorrow night. But anyway, she helps people learn to read themselves or have fun trying, but we're going to try something new tomorrow, and I ran it by her, and she likes the idea. So, yeah, what we're going to do is we're going to take a guest that, out of the chat room or anyone that wants to call in that thinks they have a stronger gift than normal or just one that they want to try to enhance, and come on and, spend that hour or more with us and reading other people and helping them read themselves.
That's kind of a neat idea. It's kind of like a stand-up night, where you just, to bring people in and give them the mic and say, go for it, and then you make it a supportive forum. I think that's a neat idea.
Yeah, that's pretty much what Kathy Sisson Echoes is anyway, is a supportive forum. So, we allow people to come on, and I've had a few come and go as co-hosts, but that's what truly our forum is all about, is people learning to stand on their own 2 feet and getting used to the radio and everything else. But then we have our regulars like you and Nick and Quinny and Dom and all, and I just thank the world and blessed to have y'all there.
All right. Well, I'm looking at this page you sent me with, as a matter of fact, I'll pop that link back out there. You had it in the chat room. This is for the paracorder. I'm just going to pop that out for everybody. This is, you were telling me about this, and I just, the price is right. I'm just trying to understand it says it attracts ghosts by mimicking Earth's vortex action, detects ions and electrostatic fields, an alert user with sound and lights, vortex emulator, lures and energizes ghosts with a unique localized pulsating EMF boost, but will not interfere with other meters in the area, and can be used with ghost communication, EVP session augmentation, easy to use, 1 9-volt battery, and uses Tesla coil technology. This thing has got it all. So definitely check that out. I'm going to look at the video when I get off the show tonight and just kind of look through it and think about if I want to get one or not. I mean, I got every device known to man, for
yes.
Working with spirits, but and I was mentioning before show, if you guys happen to look at it, there's a video link right on there And this is a pet peeve I have. And for you equipment designers out there, take it from somebody who does this all the time and critiques the equipment. If you look on the left side of this paracorder device, it's a standard, electronics enclosure box with its, label and some lights. But on the left-hand side is a switch. And this is the bane of every paranormal device user's existence, is these switches are stuck on the outside and they're too easy to turn on and drain your batteries when you get to the investigation. And if I could ever make a plea from somebody who actually does this stuff all the time, is please put a rocker switch on there that's hard to turn on and quality made, so that we can have a chance to have our batteries stay intact by the time we get to the site. Because it's just, the way that this thing sticks out, and most of these devices are either, just the wrong kind of switches for the devices. So, and I have an electronics background, so I know this is, I know what I'm talking about here. It can be done for a dollar more. I'll pay that much for the Blaze switch. I mean, it's just a real annoyance to use a cheap switch on these things. So, we're putting our good money out there. Build it a little bit better for us. That's just kind of my pet peeve. But I'm sorry, I got on my soapbox there. Yeah, John the Gadget Man. Yeah, the Shinglish people. Dominic, and congrats on your show, Dom. I'm going to be listening in this one. Yeah, and you're going to have Jack on, right? Jack will be on there contributing. The number is 646-478-0377. So if you want to call in and chat about anything tonight, you have the two of us at your beck and call. And can come on, and we've definitely got a pretty good full house tonight. Coffee 77's come in, Dom is here, Gerber Daisy TM, we got a couple of guests, and let's see, Ms. Ghost is here. Hi, Ms. Ghost. I think she's in Michigan, and Karen can always call in. Karen always likes to call in. She's a major hint here. Karen can call in and talk about her cases or something coming up, and Quinny could call in too. We could talk about that, but of course, I'm just dropping hints. I would never expect them to actually call. No, don't. Please don't call the two of you. No. Or Ms. Ghost can call. No, she'd never call. So, but tonight, I'm just still kind of recovering from last night. I was up till about 2 in the morning, and me and Spencer were doing some work on videos. We investigated a case back on July 4th. In a restaurant called P30 out in the kind of north of the Bay Area. It's kind of northeast. It's not generally at the Bay Area, but it's close enough. It's a very short distance from the ocean. And P30 has had a long history with all sorts of shady characters in the past, owned the building. It was kind of a mob hangout at one time. There was prostitution. Seems to be a rather common theme in a lot of the sites that, paranormal investigators get into. There's always these, these sites tend to have a past that's generally got these kind of features. And it was funny because of that particular night, it was our first time there, and we were told some of the legends, including sightings of a tall shadow man. And, and I thought, no way we'll see anything. And we were doing I set up Command Central outside the building. I didn't want to have us inside the building and trying to do things inside and then and be talking and have contamination as we were, doing our thing outside. So we set up outside in the back on a picnic table. And what ended up happening was I was briefing the team and we were going over procedures, and I look up and there's a 6-foot shadow leaning up against this pole looking at me, and I looked and looked straight at it, and it disappeared right in front of my eyes. And I called it out immediately, and we immediately ran over with instrumentation and tried to pick up on it. And it was me, Spencer, and Renee were the three investigators. So, we had a pretty good spread of equipment out in on it. So, Spencer felt like we didn't get much, but last night's analysis and this morning when we pulled some more of the video out and ran through it, we got some good EVPs, and we have a video that we're going to load up on YouTube here next couple of days that'll have, you'll see actually two whitish orb-like things shoot up from the bottom of the screen in a very fast way, and it's not in tandem with what the camera's doing, so we don't understand this. We're going to throw it out there and ask people to take a look at it and see what they think it is, because we're not ready to call it yet. And we like to put these kinds of questionable pieces out for people to come back and give their opinions. So when I do that, I'll make sure we broadcast about it. But we're definitely digging into that backlog, of cases. And let's see. Oh, we got a 623 caller. I think that I know who that might be. Let me see. I wonder if it could be an Arizona caller. I think that's 623. Arizona caller, come in.
Howdy, John. Howdy, Kathy.
Hey, Karen.
Karen took the bait, man.
I did.
Oop, I've got a problem here. Just a sec. Go ahead and keep talking. I got to turn down. My TV decided to go crazy. Just a sec.
Oh, what are you doing with your TV on? Jeez.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I'm back. Sorry about that. I had I was watching a show on Discovery Channel of ancient aliens being part of our history and some of the legends in religion and stuff. So I had it on hold, and my DVR decided to go, I'm going to just start playing. So anyway, hello, my dear.
Well, John, did you happen to see the Ghost Adventure show Friday?
Which one's that?
The U.S. the Titanic. USS Hornet.
No, I haven't. I didn't get a chance to look at that. I've been kind of busy with this place and stuff, although I was terrible today, and I spent most of the day out and didn't do a damn thing other than investigate process evidence. But what happened on that? I mean, I'd like to hear.
I thought you would be watching that intently. It was awesome, especially when, because they were in the sick bay where we were laying on the beds. And they went into that the operating room where you got a growl. Remember you had said you heard a growl there?
Yeah.
Well, they got a growl too.
We got to send our evidence into them. I mean, I've still got that clip. It was me and one of the chief docents, gal who's Mo is her name. Mo and I were in there talking.
Is that one of the twins?
No, Mo is she did a lot of work on Navy carriers and was pretty. I don't think she was an officer, but I think she was pretty high up in the ranking. And she did aircraft, some kind of aircraft maintenance, and was a deck boss or something like that. I mean, and she's tough as nails. And she, I actually saw her terrified in that night. Or the next morning, she actually woke up after having something mess with her on the ship, and it was something to see such a strong lady coming back and having been messed with by this ghost. It was actually touching her, and she just completely wigged out. But her and I the night before were standing in there in that one OR room. It's the one closest to the sick bay, the general sick bay. And that thing, I was standing closest to the growl, and it was in the corner, and we heard this rawr, like that. And I about jumped out of my skin, and she backed off, and we're standing in the hallway going, okay, what was that, And she had never heard anything like that before. It was really something else. But I'd like to see what they got and maybe compare notes.
They were using the Frank's box. They were getting, talking on the Frank's box. They used one of those new recorders and they picked up a voice on that. OR room too. Were those two girls, are those twins or are they just sisters?
They're actually I think that they're twins.
They were on. They were the ones.
Heidi and I are good friends. I mean, I talk with her quite a bit, and I went down for my training, and I'm going to have to postpone it because of my dad's situation until I can, free up to go back and do some work on the ship. But my options are still open there, and they want like 16 hours a month, and we're negotiating about hours because I can only do like maybe half that, to go out there and do paranormal docent work. So that's something I'm going to continue doing. With them, but she's Heidi's like my main contact, and then her sister. They look a lot alike. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're twins, but the two of them, they're both crazy. there's something not quite right with both of them, and they're just they've got no fear. I like that about them. They've had multiple encounters aboard ship. Especially remember when we were up there and up at the intelligence section that you and I were in on that one night.
Yes, in that back hallway.
Yeah, and it was in the briefing room. That was where the Apollo 11 briefings were held with the press who were aboard ship, and you and I stepped into that that one section where it was the top secret. At one point, it used to be the top secret intelligence section, and we stepped in, and you and I saw that point of light appear where there shouldn't have been any. And in the shape of that man right in front of us. And that was, the ship is definitely active. I mean, there's no getting away from it.
Yeah, I was getting hits on the K2 meter there. And, yeah, that was cool. I know, I wish I had more instrument, tools, toys to play with them.
Well, it's funny. I was just processing some evidence. I was going through in my, because I've been talking about it for the last few weeks, I've been digging into the pile and getting myself undug out. And I had a photograph I took aboard ship during one of the docent discussions. I was there, and I went through and did some photography down. I was going towards the bow of the ship, and I was a deck below where sickbay is. And heading forward, and that's where the mess is, and there's a lot of the different enlisted man's quarters, and then there's some officers' stuff there, and you get up towards the generator rooms and stuff like that. And it ended up, I took a picture of a display case that had a whole lot of common articles that, things that, you and I would recognize, based on our advanced age. Products that were kind of in the old labels, common things like beer and, soaps and different things. And we got a shot. I took a picture that shows something apparently manifesting inside the case, and we're still trying to debunk it. And a lot of people were throwing rocks at it on Facebook and trying to come up and say what it was. And nobody's been able to say definitively that it's smudges or anything that we can prove, so I'm going to label it a big question mark, but definitely interesting piece. Usually I don't get photographs. I'm usually Mr. EVP. And that one, for once, some of our photo evidence actually caught something.
I never got to go to the forecastle when we were on the Hornet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You've never been up?
Our group never got to go there.
Oh my God, you've missed out. I mean, the forecastle is, yeah, it's really active up there. Oh yeah, I mean,
they were there, and I was like, man, I wanted to go there. We didn't get to go. I'm gonna have to go back.
Yeah, if you do, let me know. We'll go together because the forecastle. For those of you who don't know what that is, there's the big airplane elevator where you come into the ship. You come in through the flight deck, the hangar deck where they work on the ships and all that, the aircraft. And there's a big elevator there that lifts the aircraft to and from the flight deck. And above that, towards the bow. Going forward is the actual secondary bridge, the forecastle, and that's if the main bridge is destroyed and you've got some horrible damage. That secondary bridge is used to control the ship with only the minimum of equipment, and that thing was just has always been active. There's always something going on there. Every time I've been up there, we've gotten knocks and a lot of K2 hits and things like that. It's really, one of the more haunted places there. I mean, every time I've been there, we've gotten activity.
Yeah, so we'll have to go sometime.
Yeah, I want to go back. I mean, I just love that ship. It's, if there were two ships that you had to see, Queen Mary and Hornet, are up there on the West Coast. And then I think East Coast, there's an equivalent to Hornet, and I can't remember the name right off the bat.
Yeah, I can't either.
Can't remember the name right off the bat, but maybe somebody will know in the audience here. But that's those ships saw so much action and were hit so many times in various engagements and things. You know, a lot of people died aboard those ships. I mean, Hornet had 14 in combat, but they had another accident where a bomb-laden plane dropped a bomb accidentally into the aft end of Hornet and killed 40 guys outright. I mean, they didn't even know it hit them. You know, and they're just, you know, just regular incidental things that happened to people aboard it. And, you know, that ship was, I think, in service up till about 1970. So it started, you know, in the 1940s, really, you know, 43, I think. So it had a long and illustrious career. And, you know, it went out in style, you know, with the Apollo 11 recovery. But my goodness, you know, the stuff that's happened there. And it's just so friggin' haunted. You know, I mean, what did you feel when...
Quinny's got a question for you.
What's that?
Ask John if he went back and heard the female yes in the spot she noted when he was off on his own in sick bay.
I'm trying to remember where that might have been. She's going to have to give me more on it because I'm not sure I remember that. Was
it's
that
on
like
your
when
video.
We were...
on your video on your YouTube.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about. It was my very first night aboard. You know, I've been there five times now. And what ended up happening was Sharon Coyle from Journey Paranormal. She now owns Rolling Hills Asylum back east. But at that moment in time, you know, it was 2008 Halloween night. And she didn't know me from Adam, and we were all supposed to stay together, and I got turned around, and I took a wrong turn and ended up by myself over in the ship's museum area, off to the other side of sick bay. And when I realized my mistake, I was already partway down the hall, and I was looking for people, and I realized, oh, I got to backtrack, and I remembered my path and got back, no trouble, but. As soon as I turned to leave, I heard a big sharp knock in the room with me, and it was definitely in the room. And so, you know, I swing back and forth with the camera, and I went back and looked, and, you know, and it was unnerving. It was like I didn't know that ship from Adam. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know what the name of the place was. You know, I've been in there many times since. But what ended up happening was there was this I walked back after that, tried to go back, and again another knock, and I walked all the way back. And then, you know, did some panning around and trying to figure this out. And I go to turn, and it did it again right in front of me. And that's when the hair on my neck went up. And I started, you know, I felt like I had a male energy in front of me, and I felt it grinning at me. I mean, I don't know else how to tell you that, but it was definitely grinning. And as I'm walking, I could feel this guy walking with me. And it turned out the bomb elevator that runs up through that section of the ship, and it runs right through that room. There's actually a door where you can open it up and climb in and interact with the munitions cargo as it goes up to the flight deck. And what happened was is a guy that during a Japanese attack, there was an engagement fully on, and they had they were moving bombs up. And this guy, instead of going up the gangplanks, he gets in the bomb elevator with 6,000 pounds worth of bombs and goes up with that stuff, and they got hit, and the bombs shifted. And when that happened, it crushed the guy. He literally was squashed when he opened it up, and here's this dead sailor. And so that's, I didn't know anything about this. When I went in there, and I got this on video, this whole interaction, and it turns out it's been reported many times. So I felt it was a man, but I'm going to have to go look for this yes that you're talking about, Quinny. I haven't had a chance to look. I've been doing other things, but I will look into it. And you think it's a woman,
huh? You
said
it's on the October 31st, 2008 encounter.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one. That's the exact one. I know where she's talking about. So I'll go back and see if I can pull some EVP off of that. I really never processed it for EVP. I was just, it was just, you know, on the basis of it being solely just the video evidence alone. I never considered that, you know, and you do get EVPs on video.
She said it's about 2 minutes and 13 seconds into the video.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know about our video channel, if you go, let me actually pull that up. That's www.youtube.com, and that's going to be, I think, Ghostwriter INV.
Or they can click on Quinny's link, and that'll carry them straight to your site as well.
Yeah, it's definitely some interesting evidence. You know, I reposted it, and I'm going to put a better version up. I found the original because I had put up a slightly less inferior quality version of that. So I'll put it up where it's a little bit better. And you know, and then it was shot using a Sony night vision camera, so it's really good quality video. And I'd like to, you know, put it out as good as I could. It just I had the wrong piece to put out there, so I'll get that fixed up. But boy, yeah, it was a neat encounter. Yeah, I mean, but you know, I've had some neat stuff happen. I mean, Karen's had multiple things happen. I mean, what have you had happen to you aboard there? Things that you remember, Karen?
Oh gosh, the first thing is we just gone up and sat in the first room, and within the first few minutes, I got an EVP. I was sitting off. I actually heard something, and people were saying they saw something through the door, and I was sitting off to the corner towards that door, kind of away from everybody, and within the first, like, minute, I got an EVP.
What did it say?
Something about having us dance or something like that. Are you going to dance or something like that? Because we were talking about, you know, we were girls on the ship, you know, that kind of thing.
I remember that night.
Yeah.
Oh, that was like Heidi was being rather saucy. I don't know how else to say it. It was Heidi was prompting to do things for the sailors if they would give us evidence.
Well, a few of us were.
Yeah, and I was the only guy with all
really
the ladies.
Did it,
and at least it's dark. I'll be a gentleman, but. Yeah, you guys were being rather saucy to say the least. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, and I think she actually Heidi got grabbed on that one. She was actually pulled down, and I've got audio from that whole encounter there. But you weren't there on the last time I was there, though. My fourth time aboard. Actually, the time before. We were there, and we were up in the flight briefing area. It's the last place the pilots sit down in and all talk about the mission before they go up and hop in their planes. So they're just one deck below the flight deck, and then they go out and they go up, and they're on the deck, and they go jump in their planes and do what they do. And we were sitting there, and we had another group coming in behind us, and Heidi looks at me and says, "Do we want to mess with them?" And I said, "Sure." And she goes, "What are you going to do?" And you know, it suddenly falls to me. So I go up and I open the flight door and I start banging it. And you know, all these voices on the near and down at the end of the hall is the admiral's quarters. You know, and you hear them and they all stop and I start making this horrible noise and they all took off running, including all the dogs. It was Heidi's sister took off running, and she goes, "I'm never going up there again." And I scared the holy hell out of a bunch of experienced ghost hunters. It's so terrible. I even now I feel bad about it, but it was funny. Heidi was laughing, and she was like as sick as I was. It was good.
Well, Quinny just said something about the real-time EVP recorder. And... Yeah. I've been looking at that. Excuse me. I've been looking at that recorder, and I believe that's the same one you're talking about, Quinny. They used it on the Ghost Adventures crew. Just used that on the Hornet. I think that's the same one, and they did get a voice out of it, but they didn't use it very long. So I'm wondering if that's good or not, because it sounds like it's really good. It has It has a delay, so it plays back like 4 seconds or 5 seconds or whatever it is, so you can actually hear, you know, in real time. But it continues recording.
It's funny because you almost have that with conventional recorders. If you put, if you take and put, you know, have a speaker going out of the a conventional like Sony, like ICD that I use. I use Sony ICD recorders, the 620, 720s, 520 models, and I think the 820, those are the ones I really like. And or any other pretty good quality, you know, middle of the road recorder, you can get the audio out and pipe that to an amplifier and hear that in real time.
You have to have a recorder. I mean, a microphone plugged into it, not just use the mic on the recorder.
Yeah, you would use an inexpensive condenser mic and have that separate.
Oh,
and then
I have one.
So. Yeah, I mean, you could do that and have a small speaker, assembly. What am I thinking here? An amplifier hooked in, and you would get back real time, because what you're talking about there is near real time, you know, with a 4 second.
Yeah, it records it, but it plays back is what it does, so you can hear it like right there on the spot, but yet it still continues recording as you're listening.
Yeah, you can do that with any recorder. That's the part I'm going to have to look at what this means, because some of the terminology in these devices that we're snapping up without even thinking about what we're spending money on can be really tricky. And I've actually gone out and tested this and found out, it's great. I mean, you can actually have the sound live and you can actually hear things, you know, as you're going.
I've tried with mine. I've put the earplugs in and whatever, but it didn't work. But I didn't have a microphone plugged into it either, though.
Yeah, you could do it's like when I was just a few weeks ago when I was aboard that that airplane that I was flying, the Chinese fighter aircraft, and I was in flying it. And I had one of my paranormal recorders in my pocket in my flight suit, and what I did is I wired a simple condenser mic up, routed that up, and then I just stuffed that into my my headset ear pad on my left ear, and that picked up the conversation between me and the pilot, you know, the pilot who was taking me up. And so, you know, and we got the whole thing of me, you know, flying the plane and the handoffs and all the neat conversation. But you could take that same mic and use that for the purpose you're talking about. You would have it clipped on your lapel or whatever. And then just, you know, go to town with your recordings and other people could hear what's going on. Or you could just wear a set of headphones. You know, if you're alone and you just want to hear the responses live, you would actually hear that. You would actually hear the interactions with your recorder.
I'm going to try.
Yeah, actually, it's so easy to do. You don't even really need to have the you could use the internal mic. You don't have to have a
cut. I've done that, and I haven't. Maybe mine's not good enough. I don't know, because I've listened, but I haven't gotten anything.
Well, the theory is on EVP recorders is that the recorder itself is the interaction point for a spirit. It's not the microphone. The theory is they're actually interacting with the circuitry, the semiconductors in the circuit boards of these things, and it's not like they're, you know, intelligently looking and going, I'm going to affect that component and that component. It's just like it's just a consequence of them being near these mid-quality recorders. That's the parts that it affects. And so, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe you could try it with and without and see what happens. Maybe
can I ask you something?
Yeah, go for it.
When you have, you know, your headphones on or your earplugs into your recorder, can you hear other people talking through those headphones?
Oh yeah, I mean, absolutely. Because your mic is carrying. See, you can have the recorder on. You're listening to the stream as it comes through from that microphone. You're picking up on it live, and you're recording at the same time.
Then mine doesn't work, because when I put them on, you don't hear nothing. You can't hear anything.
Oh well, then buy Sony, my friend. Buy Sony.
That's
what I buy. I buy Sony, and I get all those features. It comes with the recorder. I do have an Olympus here that I've never tried that on. I should try that. I've got an Olympus VN6200 PC model here, and it's a nice little recorder. I got to give it a try. I'm sure that I don't know what model do you have of a recorder.
I have an RCA.
Well, I would try Sony. You know, it's funny because Spencer and I, we have some really advanced recorders, and time after time, I find myself going back to those Sonys. We use the high quality H1, H2, and H4 models for a lot of our better quality audio. You know, that's non EVP, and we're going to be using more of it in our videos. But for the real work, for the paranormal stuff, the Sonys and the Olympus models seem to really do a great job. We do use an RCA.
This picks up. It does pick up sounds and voices from quite a distance, though. It picks up a lot.
Well, it's I'm surprised that it wouldn't carry that out through the output live. That's something that's kind of a shock to me that it wouldn't do that. That's a kind of a common feature of most audio circuitry that you would be using in any capacity. To be able to just have, you know, it's basically parasiting the signal off, and you know, you could do other things with it other than, you know, just depend on blind luck, which is mostly what we do with EVP. You know, we're just blindly talking and not getting feedback, and I think I'm going to work with that more. I'd like to hear, it'd be kind of funny if you downloaded your manual if you don't have it for that RCA, and then share it with me. I'd like to take a look at that too. Yeah, because that should work. We use an RCA recorder. We used one that has something that no other recorder has, and it's an older model. It has the ability to turn on at a set time and record for a set duration, which we have never found in any other recorder. And if anybody in the recording world who services paranormal investigators would like to build something in that we would just love to have, it's that. Can we actually have a recorder we can schedule? That's like a big one. I mean, it would be so nice, you know, because we don't want to be up at 2 in the morning till 4 in the morning recording at dead time. Maybe we like to get some sleep once in a while. I know that sounds weird. But that's kind of a neat thing to do, you know, just put the recorder in and let it, you know, go off on its own. And you just don't see that. And it's like a super simple thing to do to build into the recorders. So Sony, if you're listening, we want that. I hope they do
okay,
it.
Put that down on the list too. Somebody write it down.
Yeah, pick, you know, paranormal guys that are out building specialty devices. Fix your switches, Sony, Olympus, all the guys. Here's what we want. We're buying this stuff. You know, start giving us what we're asking for. By God. You know, I mean, geez, it's not that hard to put a timer into a damn computer. They run on clocks. Like, for God's sakes, give us what we want. I want my stuff. I don't know, but
have you made any of your little IR light things yet?
Actually, I have got. I actually cleared the deck, and I had a time of it this weekend getting things put together in my my lab. And I have, number one on the runway is my lights. I have all the components all set to go. So it's just a matter of drilling the cases tomorrow and the next day, and I'll actually have the first one up. And I already know it works because a friend of mine on Facebook, I shared the plans with him, and he built one, and he was like all super impressed. And he was sharing with me the other day his pictures of his. And so I've got all my stuff ready to go, and it should take me probably about an hour tomorrow night to get the get the first board up and running and see it work. And I'm going to add an antenna to mine so it can pick up from a way far away things that are going off. So that's the modification I'm making in mind that he didn't do for his. So I got to one-up him. But, I'm basically set to go. I'd like to get about, you know, get the first one built, do my lessons learned from it, find out what I'd change on the next three or four of them, and build a bunch more. And then, I'll have enough of these built that I can like send them out to you guys. So, I have your address. I'll just pop it in the mail and you'll have one.
I'm looking forward to it. Weren't you building something else too?
I've got a line of things ready to go. The second device will be the ghost light is what I'm calling it for the time being. It's not original, but, it does describe it. Basically, the theory of ghosts being able to turn on a flashlight and turn it off, I found it very disturbing, you know, because So what I'm going to be doing is a translucent box that would satisfy, I think, most critics, you know, so they could see what the components are actually doing. There's nothing hidden there. And then have these switches that are of different types that we can plug, hot plug in to the device, you know, right on the top, and then let a spirit mess with those. And it's just a simple light circuit, you know, just a battery, some, you know, resistor, the switch itself, and then an LED light. And what the LED would do is come on and off based on which switch these particular entities like. And so we'll change the switches out and see what works, you know. And so I've pretty much got that lined up too. I've got all the parts I need for that, and that's also sitting there just waiting. So I've got that lined up, and then I've got two Ramsey tri-field kits to build, which are and then a bunch of the my own illuminators, and we just bought this really neat little illuminator. Runs on a 9-volt battery, and it lasts 10 hours. And it's from
Creepy Hollow, right?
Yeah, creepyhollow.com.
And yeah, I just ordered one of those, too.
Oh, you just ordered?
Yes.
Well, you know what you're going to find is it's really, really bright, but it's really bright in a very narrow circle. And so what I'm going to do on mine is drill, put in two other LEDs kind of at an off angle on either side of the four in my model, and that'll give you kind of an even coverage all around. The one they have, it's just kind of, you know, just they're just pointing forward, and what you want is to have kind of a nice wider spread on your illumination. So I'm going to do mine and just, and see how well I get it to work, and then that's just another device yet we'll send out more of for people to play around with and see if that works out. Because, and Spencer and I were both commenting on it last night. I mean, I took it to him, and he noticed it right off the bat, too, you know, without me saying anything. I was waiting to see what he'd do.
When I was reading about it, you know, it was saying how it did a wider space and stuff like that than the other one. So that's...
What's funny is I saw TAPS, was actually not the TAPS crew, the GHI crew, Ghost Hunters International, had, they were just showing some of their equipment, and they had one camera bracket that they had set up, and on either side were two of those Creepy Hollow illuminators, and they were set in such a way that they overlap. And that's like an ideal setup for those is unmodified. But to me, it just makes more sense to have a unit that can cast out a wide field of light to compensate. And it just makes sense. And, you know, and I think both Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures crews have these portable units, too, that they can just set anywhere. And they provide ambient light all over the place. And that's another thing that we have never done. And so I've got like 100. I bought like a lot of 100 of these IR LEDs. And so I've got a load of these things. And they're pretty inexpensive. You know, you can get them just for dirt cheap. It's just the work to set it up and actually, you know, solder them and get them hooked into a circuit. And then provide power. And boom, you got, guidance, instant light. And, you know, that's another way just to get ambient light is just have a bunch of these things pointing all over the different rooms you're going to hit. So,
One of the reasons why I like that one is because that it does last a long time. Where a lot of those little seamies and all that, they only stay charged for an hour or 2 hours.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, I bought the, what was the name of that one? What was it you said?
Something like that? Yeah.
Yeah, I bought one of those a year and a half ago, and I loved it, except it lasted an hour and a half, and the battery took 14 hours to recharge, which is stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm going, why can't... And then I thought, well, oh, it's easy. I'll just plug it in, and I can have a battery pack and plug in. And no, it just... All it does is recharge. You can't have a power supply, you know, beat it. And
one of the guys that was on a group I was with when we went to Utah, he actually removed the battery from the back. He modified it somehow so he could put new batteries in, except it was very difficult to do. It was very tricky to remove one battery and put one in, but he actually did it to one.
Yeah, I thought about doing that with mine because the illumination on it is really nice. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just
everybody I know likes those.
Yeah, they do a great job with wide field, and they do give you a nice wide field. I mean, I did the one that Quinny was talking about with the Hornet video was shot with that. It had that, and it just does a great job of giving you a wide field. It's got like 24 LEDs. So it's really a good piece of gear, but it's just that one deficiency makes it almost useless, you know, for long duration work. You know, I mean, an hour in, you notice all of a sudden it's getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and you're going, darn, you know.
So that's one reason why I chose that one, because
it
can go for, 10 hours or something like that?
Oh, someone slap John on the back of the head and tell him to read the title of this show. I know it's about Kathy.
Oh.
Kathy.
Sorry, Kathy.
We took over. Kathy.
I'm sorry. We just started gabbing.
Gabby, me.
Interviewing me in the chat room.
Oh, my God. I feel so bad now. We got off on a different topic.
I know. I'm sorry, Kathy. Oh, my God.
It's no big deal.
So what you been doing, Kathy?
I was going to go to sleep.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, no, no. You can't do that. Okay, I'll shut up. It's your turn.
No, y'all are having a great conversation. Keep on.
Now I feel so terrible because Queenie's like sitting there going, giving me this evil face on the I'm like seeing her.
But we love you, Kathy.
We love you, Kathy. God, you're like my mom. God, jeez, I don't know. Now I don't know what to talk about.
Yeah, I'm be quiet now.
So how about them Dodgers, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know. We get into some interesting discussions on this place, and it kind of goes off on all over. So I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry now. I feel terrible. We're talking devices.
Stop.
And,
God.
Yeah, I don't know.
Gerber Daisy was doing a great job.
What was Gerber Daisy
Gerber.
Saying?
She was just interviewing me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like your special, Julie Kathy from the network page, set the deep voice. Who's got the deep voice?
You.
Is that you?
You.
Well, it isn't me.
I don't have a deep voice, do I? No.
Yes, you do.
Unless I put on my radio voice. You sound deep like John. Does that sound
Yeah, I can really hit it when I want, but, you know, most of the time I just talk like this. But, yeah, there's times when I really want to, especially when I'm doing the voiceover work for the show. Yeah, you're listening to blogtalkradio.com, and I can really lay it on thick, you know. So, I don't know.
You're listening
you guys
to
got good radio
blogtalkradio.com.
You got to give it like a real, you're listening to blogtalkradio.com live on Ghost Rider Investigations, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I'll have to work on it.
I don't know. I keep getting told I should do voiceover work professionally, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
Oh, my God.
What do you mean?
Quinny says I sound like Carol Channing at times.
Yes, you do.
You sound like Carol Channing?
Yes, you do.
Oh, my God. That's awful.
That's terrible. No, God, no. Carol
I have
Channing.
Never liked Carol Channing's voice. I'm going to shut my mouth.
You didn't like Carol Channing? Actually, you remind me of somebody I know, too. They have a voice like yours, but I can't remember who it was now. But when I first heard you, I thought, my God, that sounds like so-and-so.
Like who? Who's so-and-so?
I don't remember. I don't remember, but it was somebody I knew. Somebody I work with, I think. But they're gone now.
Oh, no. Like so-and-so. We're like going,
Gary
ooh,
says I sound
ooh.
Like Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, geez,
that's better
no.
than Carol Channing.
No.
Sound like Jimmy
no, no,
Stewart.
No.
Jimmy Stewart sounds like this. Oh, yeah, I'm a lucky man. Yeah.
Now
that's
there's
Jimmy
a strange
Stewart.
Question I've never had asked me before. What's the strangest vision or feeling you've ever gotten from doing a reading? Oh my God, I get strange visions all the time.
What do you get?
It just depends on the energy of the people, but I get some weird-looking things at times. Just different things. Like, I've actually been to another dimension, and I could feel it and see it. And I've even drove, I don't know if you've ever done this before, but I have drove down the road numerous times, and all of a sudden the road would turn to where it looked like years ago, where it was a dirt road, and it would veer off in how I would see the road. And all of a sudden I would be like, okay, get it back together, and it would go back into the straight, you know, tarred road again. But it was weird. It was like, and I said, I can't drive like this.
That's weird. Oh,
that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Does that happen often? I mean, have you, or is it just something that was happening and it's kind of stopped?
Yeah, it happened right much. And the feeling I got was I was driving in spots that people had accidents, and it was at different times. But yeah, that's some of the freakiest sights I've seen.
What's this about seeing other dimensions?
And other dimensions, yes. When I do readings for other people, I tend to go to other dimensions where I'm getting the feelings. I'm sorry, my son's talking in the background.
That's okay. Hi, son.
The silence is deafening.
You there? Yep. Okay.
And what do you see when you go over there?
Well, they send me there so that I could communicate. That's how I communicate with them.
Oh. And what do you see? You see anything?
Yeah.
Or?
I just see them and their environment, what they're doing. Day, night, didn't matter. And it feels like here. I you know, it's just a more comfort feeling. But it depends on what the questions are that they're asking. But when they're asking for their loved ones, that's where I go, is where they're at. That's the only way I can get in touch with them.
What is their world like? I mean, what do you see when you're like, there?
It's very vivid and colorful, but it's pretty much the same as us. I see them sitting around tables at the time, or just, it depends on what, you know, who I'm talking to.
Is it, you know, and in their world, those things are props mostly. Those are basically artifacts of thought forms. It's kind of some of the stuff I've read about it. I mean, is that, that's basically it. They could actually manifest just about anything they want to kind of fit what they're working with, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it is what they work with.
And that's what the meaning thoughts or things is then, really. I mean, even in this world, thought forms and thoughts are extremely powerful.
There is
over
there, and their environment and everything else is more real to me than this world.
I believe that, for sure, yeah.
But you actually, so you'll be in conscious mode driving, and then you'll pick up on these places where there's been strong, powerful events, and you can actually time travel almost back to when things were happening.
Yeah,
it's true. It's a vision now.
That's what it is. It's like a time travel, and it's very disturbing because I want to continue to go the way I'm driving and just get where I want to go and get back home, but it was getting so bad at one time I was just like, you know, I can't drive. Not until they stop, you know, using me in this fashion. And I just had to put my foot down and tell them not while I'm driving. But it continues to do it once in a blue moon, not as much, but it was really bad at one time.
Well, if I ever come to visit you, Kathy, I'm driving.
Do you think that they were protecting you by kind of supervising part of the driving while they were giving you this stuff? I mean, because you came out of it safely.
And the weirdest thing was I have been to the point where I didn't know how I got to point A to point B when that happened at times.
Of course, I've done
I've done that,
not remembering. I think a lot of people have where they drive and they just, how the hell did I get here? I don't even remember. I didn't turn. You don't remember how you got there because you do it all the time, I think, but.
And I think a lot of us do. I think a lot of us do that, but we just don't recognize it or just take it as our minds wandering. But where do our minds wander?
Yeah, yeah, true. My mind wanders a lot.
Yeah, I've had it happen.
And I can't find it a lot.
I've had it happen too many times that where I just don't realize. Like I'll get in the car on the way home and I'm zoned out, and I before I know it I'm turning into home and I'm going, I don't remember anything of what I just went through. It's just and you just think, is there something wrong with you? I don't know. I think your mind is so used to all the things that happen on that trip. It seems like it's always during the routine stuff when that happens. You know, you get kind of lulled into that. And you're really operating in your subconscious mind, I think, you know, and then maybe that's what's happening to you, Kathy. It's almost like a hypnotic state.
It is. At times, yes. But I've had to have Tony when I felt it coming on, when I start seeing the road separating. In other words, where the road is straight, the regular road that I'm driving on is straight on the tar road, then I'll start seeing the road turning. It gets kind of, you ever seen, the sun is so hot it makes the road look warped or wobbly or whatever. That's how it starts out, and then it turns brown and it looks like a dirt road and it's going left instead of me going straight, or it's going right, or it's splitting in a fork. But it gets really scary, and I've had to have Tony grab a steering wheel.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, have you seen people and different things in the road, or, you know, objects or anything like that?
No, and that's the weird thing. I don't see people. I just see the road just splitting off. I don't know why that happens to me. I just don't understand that.
It's funny because I had the experience years ago of going up towards Paradise, where, you know, California, which is about 80 miles from here. We had property up there. And I remember on a trip home, section of the road, which I since found was pretty famous for this happening. I didn't know it, but I was about 18 driving home in a little Toyota truck, and my dad's next to me, and this Chinese man materializes on the road in front of me, and I drove through him. And my left, I actually swerved to avoid hitting him. I almost wrecked. And he turned and looked right into my eyes, and I actually went through him on the left mirror. And, you know, and I had no clue what the hell just happened. I actually stopped the car, you know, truck, and got out, and I'm looking around figuring I killed the guy, and there's nobody there. You know, so, I mean, those kinds of things happen. I mean, haunts happen on roads. But in this case, I mean, it's not a haunt. It's something else. It's like you're tuning into
it. It's what I feel. It feels like it's a dimensional thing, and it seems to happen in the same spot every time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you keep like a log of everything that you're going through? Do you ever write in a journal?
My best log is my brain, but I'm getting dementia.
Oh, no. No, Kathy, no.
Lord.
Yeah,
I don't dare trust my brain.
No, Karen. You don't need to worry about that. You're just fine.
Well, and if I wrote it down, then they'd have proof that I was incompetent or crazy or something. I don't want to give anybody any more proof than they can take.
Oh, no. Well, hey, you know, we've got, Quinny said she was going to call in, but I don't know which number she is. She has we got a 916 calling in. And that's actually in my area, down in Sacramento area, with their hand up. And so Quinny doesn't have her hand up, I don't think. So I'm going to go with this 916 and just grab that and click as soon as it responds, for God's sakes. There we go. 916, you're on the air.
Hi, how y'all doing?
Hey, pretty good. Who we got?
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. This is Kayla.
Oh, hi, Kayla.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, pretty good. Rainy out here, huh?
Yeah, it's crazy. It was all nice yesterday, and now it's pouring down rain. Yucky.
What's going on? What you calling in about?
This is kind of an update. Last time I called in with the Charles thing with my uncle, I talked to my family about it, and it was actually his boyfriend that passed away. They said a really long time ago, so I'm probably guessing like 10 years before he passed away. And they were like in love with each other. So when I told my dad that, my dad was like really comforted by that. So.
Yeah. And I remember, I'll try to paraphrase some of what happened here. Kayla's called in several times and she's, you know, not far from where I'm at. I think she's in Sacramento, Carmichael, someplace in that area, but what it is, you know, you first called me and your grandmother, who's Greek, right, and came through with the glasses for me on the night I was doing mediumship stuff. And she had these big glasses and white hair, and it was these, and I picked up it was a foreign accent, but I couldn't figure what it was, and it turned out she's Greek. And then the second time you called in, your uncle, I think it's your uncle, right, who passed it, and he had, I believe, they found all sorts of things that had been going on with him, and he passed in the shower, and they found I think your father or uncle or whoever found him, and then we kind of talked a bit about that, and then now this update. So, you know, but I mean, so you're feeling a little more comforted knowing some of the things that came through?
Oh yeah, definitely. Everything kind of like worked out. I was like, who is this guy that you're talking about? Talking to my family, and so it made everybody else feel really comforted. So I just wanted to tell you thank you.
Okay, well, thank you. Yeah, so it was my reading what I picked up on that you're talking about, right? I mean, that some of the stuff that was coming. Oh, I always like it when we get a good validation, you know? It's good to know the work works. Well, thank you for calling in with that, you know, and shoot me some mails about it more, and we'll talk some more.
Okay, definitely.
Okay. Well, thank you, honey, for calling in.
Uh-huh. Y'all have a good night.
Okay, you too. That was really cool.
Good night.
Okay, good night to you. She's just a doll. And it's always good to hear from, you know, things like that when you get a little feedback that, you know, some of what you were talking about comes in good, you know. But,
yeah,
I mean, you know, yeah, but, you know, Kathy, you do readings, though, right? I mean, I'm remembering it's Kathy Show Quitting. So, but
I
mean, you've
do,
been,
yeah.
But you and I were talking about that. You were talking about that with me the other day. I'm sorry to laugh because it's like your readings are very direct.
They are, and they really bother me at times. I get very blunt, and I feel like I'm hurting somebody's feelings, and they just come out and say no, they needed to hear that, but. That's the reason I don't like to read people too much on air, because I can get very blunt at times. Not brutal, but blunt nevertheless.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes, sometimes you hear me when I get stuff, and I'll maybe I won't be so blunt, but I'll definitely pull them up short as direct as I can without hurting their feelings.
Pretty good, John.
What's that?
You sugarcoat pretty good.
I feel so bad when, like,
I know.
The, you know,
you
some,
try
some
to
of the ones
really
that come
dumb.
In and they're like, you know, they're just so, you know, it's so obvious what's going on, and you just kind of, you know, sometimes you don't have to be a medium to see what's happening. You just have to have some, you know, you look at what's happening and just say, hey, wait a minute, you know, this is, you know, step back and take a look at what's happening with you. There's a way to handle it because you want a good positive outcome, you know, but, I think it's just individual style, you know, different people have different ways of doing it. I can get direct. I mean, some people, I've had a few, I will be honest. I've had a few where I've done readings and, you know, it's like, you know, you want to hit them over the head with an axe after you get done. Sometimes it's like, hey, you've called in 5 times on this. I mean, come on. Let's try to change some approaches here. And the other thing is, I think with readings is don't call in time after time looking for the same thing, you know, or surfing show to show on VTR and other networks. you know, looking for a different answer to fit your issue. I mean, stick with one medium or two, and then be read every 6 months, you know, at the most, or maybe 3 months if you really wanted to push it. But you got to give the advice and the reading time to work, you know, and validate things. You know, now Kayla here, who called, you know, was validating some stuff we had through. That's a different story. But I mean, do you feel that way, Kathy? I mean, do you see a lot of this kind of thing with you know, folks?
I'll give you an example. There's one that I'm not giving names, but there's one that calls, and she wants to hear that this guy is, you know, the right one for her. And the point is, the guy won't give her the time of day now, and then all of a sudden he comes around, and then she says, you know, I think we're going to make it. And then she says, oh, he's not coming around again. I said, you know what? I said, and finally, my whole bluntness just came out. And I told her, I said, you're obsessed. You need to get away from the obsessiveness. You need to find yourself. You need to love yourself. And when you love yourself, other people will love you for who you are. Stop being something that you think he needs and be something that you know you need. And that's my bluntness. And I don't like myself at times when I get that blunt, but she said, am I really obsessed? I said, yes, you are. And
yeah.
Well, sometimes I think people need that, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I get to the point where I'll hear them, you know, I get to recognize the voices, you know, and you know, the time that you give to these people calling in, and we, you know, this night's when this place is cooking, you know, here on this show. And, or if I'm doing readings on someone else's show and you just see everything going on, and all of a sudden you recognize that voice and it's the same questions coming through and you're going, God, you know, I already read you. You know, I mean, it's,
but the point is,
change.
Everyone has that ability to think for themselves. It's called intuition, you know, like mother's intuition or whatever. And it's also called common sense. If there's no jobs out there because the economy is bad, then don't expect for a psychic to tell you when you're going to get a job. Everybody's struggling to find that. Whether it's, you know, getting a job whipping hamburgers, take it. You know, but, you know, they're wanting something special and unique. Good luck with that one unless you start your own business. And good luck with that one, too. So, and the love area, you know, if you had a good love life, you wouldn't be calling in anyway. So if you want people to talk and send it your way as far as what you want to hear, you ain't going to get it. Good luck with that one, too. So see why I don't read people on air.
You know, you're dead on. I mean, you know what, that's what gets me is the loved ones. You know, it's like I'm a medium. I mostly do medium stuff. I am psychic, but, you know, psychic work is it's kind of a different egg, you know. It's a different, you know, bag of eggs there. And mediumship, you know, you're bringing through folks that are past. I mean, that's sort of my deal. And, you know, the other is, you know, if they're asking me questions like that, I'm going to tell them what I think, you know, because they're before me. I will say something, but, you know, I agree with you on the love thing. I mean, I think that, you know, mostly what I try to do when they come in with that is to say, look, you know, are you manifesting? Are you projecting for the right kind of person? I mean, what have you done to change your odds of bringing that person into your life? And invariably, they tell you all the wrong stuff. You know, it's like, well, I just wish for this and that. It's like, no. You know, if you're going to go fishing, first you get a hook and you get a line and you know, you do all these things. I mean, there's a process. And it's not a mystery. It's just a matter of getting out there and doing the right kind of work on yourself and making yourself a more attractive love target, if you will. So, yeah, I absolutely agree with you, you know, Kathy. It's just, God.
And appreciating what you have now.
Yeah.
That's a big key. You've got to appreciate what you have now. Even though it may not be perfect and it may not be great, appreciate what you have, and then more will come to you. And the more you appreciate, the more will come.
Yeah, and there's those rarities, like Nate the other night that called in to get a reading from you, John. And the rarity of that is where, bless his heart, he lost his whole family in a car accident. And he wanted to know, you know, about his family and how they were over there. And just, you know, y'all heard it. And And that's the ones that I love to speak to that are genuine in their asking.
Curious.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that came through so clear, and that reading really personally affected me. I mean, I when that woman came through and that child, and it turned out what I tuned into with the child was the little girl's persona of being more adult than she was, which, you know, I figured 10 to 15 is what I ranged in on, and she was, I think, 7. And then he confirmed that she was way beyond her years in terms of who she was. She was obviously an old soul who was ready to pass at that time, and that was what she manifested for that reason. But I was, I'll tell you, we got off that show. I was really upset. I mean, it really kind of just took the wind out of my sails. I mean, you felt that coming through on that, man. And but at the same time, even though that affected me so much, I really enjoyed reading for him, you know, because it really helped him, you know, and you could hear the gratitude in the voice. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of readings I like to do. Those are the ones that make a difference, you know, and that's why you do this kind of business. And it's tough work. I mean, you're dealing with really raw human emotion at that point. And you could hear the guy. He was just about ready to crack. And God love him. I mean, he's a great human being, you know, and he's dealing with some of the most primal things that can happen to you. You mean you lose your whole family? I mean, you know, mother, sister, niece, you know, and these are some of the closest people to you. My goodness. So that's why we're here on this show. That's what I see it as. But the rest of it, I'll do the reading, but, you know, I never took a course in love doctoring.
You'll get one now.
Yeah, you gotta. If you're into a love interest, the first thing you ask is, you know, is it all about me? Does everything have to work out in my, you know, in my rules and regulations, or am I flexible enough to be happy with somebody that we can work together with and create a relationship? And it just comes down to that simple term. But oh my gosh, you were wonderful the other night, and whether you know it or not, John, Quinny and Karen and I are constantly, when you're doing readings, we're telling our feelings on what we're feeling while you're doing it.
That was so awesome because, we were getting the same things.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know, I IM'd him and told him because I just felt like I was supposed to tell him about the trees.
Oh, who was that?
Trees. And I said, does that make sense to you? And he said, absolutely it does. He says that was from his sister. Said that. And I was like, oh my God. And he's so that was kind of cool.
You know what I'm starting to notice with, and I've seen this oddly enough in my friend Spencer. You know, here we are. We both are doing, and you too, you know, Karen. I mean, the stuff that we do when we go out in the field and we're dealing with paranormal so often. It seems to be the more exposure to paranormal activity that we have and going out and working with these phenomena that it does stimulate, you know, our various gifts. And, you know, now I'm seeing Spencer have stuff happen. And, you know, I'm not going to go into the details of his particular, you know, things that are going on, but the ability to sense things, the ability to interact more directly. I just have a feeling that, you know, part of our paranormal work does affect the mediumship and psychic skills in a positive way most of the time. I mean, we do get those parts of the brain are stimulated more in the presence of these things and that we do end up.
I feel that way when I'm with you guys. I feel like it comes on more, you know, I feel it more when I'm with you guys.
Aww.
I do.
Well, thank you.
I have to agree with Karen there.
Yeah, we brought Quinny on, by the way.
Oh, hi, Quinny.
Hi.
You heard a clap out of me.
I'm like, this is a live EVP, okay.
Go ahead and talk, guys, because I'm going to be extending the show here. I got asked, and as long as you guys want to stay up.
I wanted to commend you also for that show the other night, because John had a lot of callers on, and
he really
just jumped right in there and, you know, got him off and got a new one on, and I thought that was really good.
Oh, I love it when Kathy does that.
I'm such a bad.
I'm so appreciative. I was like, what? I've got a manager and she's keeping me going. And, you line up. Okay, you. Yeah, we got to move them along. Come on. Yeah.
You've got a lot of callers. You need that.
But honestly, guys, for the show that Kathy and I do, the Learning to Read Yourself, even though we hate the calls, I've been seeing this guy for a week now. Is it going to work? Is he the one? If you're calling in, you already have doubts, number one. They're the easiest ones because you can explain to everyone how to actually read yourself. As much as we hate it, it's the perfect example. Are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay. Silence. Dead silence.
We're all quiet.
Well, Quinny, I mean, you get that too. I mean, you get the same kinds of calls on your show.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. I've been seeing a guy for a week or 2 weeks now. I like him a lot, but is it going to go anywhere? Is he going to be the one? If you're calling in and asking that soon, the relationship just started. Give it a chance.
maybe a little desperation there, so maybe?
Just a little. You have to learn to be patient with yourself. You have to learn to love yourself. If you're asking, well, is this going to work out? Is this the guy? Give him a chance.
You got to get to know him.
Yeah, exactly.
Before you know that.
You have to know him, and that's one of the things. In other words, if you call in to any psychic or if you go to see any psychic, some of them do fish, and some of them will tell you the same exact thing. So, but you'll be paying tons of money just to hear that.
Yeah, I just have this resounding nightmare of 50 years from now, I'm like a really old guy, and I open the door, and this really angry person I read all those years ago who married the wrong person just beats the hell out of me because I told them what they wanted to hear. And I'm just like, I don't know, you know, it's just the love stuff. I really find I've been toying with the idea of saying, sorry, I don't do those kind of readings, but I don't know. I my heart's bigger than my mouth at that point, and I try to fix it, you know, for them and try for them to see, you know, but whether they take the advice or not, I don't think nine out of ten of them actually take what I say and apply it, really.
Kathy and I have a girl, Crazy C, that calls in every once in a while to let us know what's going on. And she's going through the beginner stages like I was going through, just seeing mists and shadows, hearing a little things here and there. And she's trying to expand, but yet her husband doesn't really believe or approve, quite frankly. And I like to keep track of those people to see how they're doing. And I'll give them a little, both Kathy and I will give them a little bit of insight, a little things to do, like keep a journal, pay attention to this, pay attention to that. And it's always nice to hear from her because you never know what's been going on, what she's been seeing, what she's been hearing. It's always something new coming up.
Well, it's funny. I really like the readings where we get people calling in, and I'll say, you know, get something that doesn't make sense at the time. And then, you know, and I'm getting it straight from the other side. I know it's not me. It's not my imagination. It's like, you know, I've learned to tell the difference. And it's obviously told me that for a reason. And then I'll get these, notifications, you know, and this, in my calls like tonight with Kayla, I mean, that's like really gratifying to me. That says that, you know, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know, it's helping people. And you'll get these emails and they'll go, "That was that thing you said. And it was, that's true. There's this person that we didn't know about." And, you know, or they had psychic amnesia and they forgot they did have a grandmother, named such and such. And then you go, oh, cool. I'm glad I stuck to my guns. And that's the one thing that if for mediums out there, you know, I'm not a professional. I don't make money at this. But the one lesson I've learned in all of this in the last year or so is if you feel it, stick to your guns and don't let them talk you out of it, you know, because the other side, you know, is telling you this for a reason, and you better stick with it. You might have the symbol not quite right, but stick with it, because more often than not, you're getting the truth in some form that later on will be recognized, and the people you're reading for will appreciate it. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, stick to your guns.
Oh, we do. And sometimes I'm like Kathy. You want to get there are some you just want to get off the phone real quick, and I want to bust out. I used to say, attention psychic shoppers, there are no blue light specials today. But honestly, the ones that call in constantly and have the same questions for about every blog talk radio show are... I don't want to say annoying. It's really not annoyance. It's more like, I feel sorry for you. Please do not call Keen. You'll be throwing your money away. It's just, they just boggle. I don't understand them.
Yeah, I know this would never happen, but I've entertained the idea of like kind of keeping a track of the numbers of those people that call and then sharing it with other mediums. And so we have like a blacklist of don't answer, because it's just going to be the same call. But you can't do that.
Yeah.
But it's just like, God, sometimes you just want to do that. You're just like, oh, no. You know, and it's like, I don't know. I mean, it's just, I wish they would learn, you know. They're really externalizing out, you know, the indecisiveness or an insecurity. And it's just... it's just so appreciated when I get the chance to really do the mediumship questions, you know, the mediumship stuff that really you are connecting to that side, you know, and Frank even, I mean, Frank comes in, you know, and he's a scientist and he's in school and, he comes in with some really neat stuff and he loves the ovulus and he loves the, you know, using the FM radio setup that I have, you know, and that's just another means to get to the same, you know, same source. And it's so neat, you know, because that's what we do here, you know. But the love questions, oh, God.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I should talk about love, you know. I don't know.
Like Dominica says in the chat room, they sound like lonely people who may be afraid. And that's true. And you want to reach out and help them, but you can only reach out so far. Can't fix what doesn't think it's broken. They have to help themselves first. You can only give them so much information and so much, you can only extend that hand so many times.
Yeah, it's funny. I've been reading an awful lot about different mediums out there, and you know, Brian Hurst is a famous English medium that has taught a lot of people here on the West Coast and all over. A lady I'm soon to meet is Cheryl Booth, who was one of his students down in Los Angeles. And Brian, you know, he always says in his books and writings, and I've been really paying attention to some of the stuff he does, that really it's good. 3 to 6 months is your time between readings of the medium. It's just essential to let the reading come true. You know, find the elements of that and the advice that the other side's giving. You know, it takes a lot of energy for them to come through for us, really. I mean, they don't, that's not energy that they willingly, you know, part with, because they have to come down to our level. We meet them in the middle as mediums. You know, we have to raise our vibrational level. They have to come down to our level, do their best to get the message across. And by gosh, you know, for the work they're putting in, and so are we, you know, why don't you, you know, take what we're saying and believe us, you know. And he's dead right. I mean, I do think 3 months is the minimum, you know.
Yeah.
So if anybody does listen to this and does, you know, profit from one thing, you know, hear that piece, because it gives that chance for this thing, you know, this magic that we're doing to work, you know.
Yeah, and then there's people, I'm going to say like me, who need verification all the time. I'm not in denial land anymore, but I'm on the border. 1 foot in denial land and 1 foot in, okay, it's happening, so what?
No, yours is a different case. That's one that's not so much validation. It's that you are having experiences, you know, since Richie passed. You're having experiences, and you've got your friends who you're coming to with this, and, you know, including you. You know, I saw your note to me, you know, from earlier, where those things are happening, and Richie is learning to manipulate himself, you know, and interact with our particular dimension in his new spirit body. And
right.
Those things happen. That's entirely valid. You know, you're going through the loss of, you know, somebody you deeply love. They're still caring very much for you. They're still interacting with you, and you're going through this whole evolution. That's a completely different topic.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not so much reading work that's going on, because Richie comes over here to me.
I know.
He pops in at the damnedest times, and I'm like going, you know, and then it ends up you and me talking about it. You know, and that's okay. I can deal with that. You know, and he's got an open door to me. Not too many spirits I'm going to let through. I like Richie. He's cool. He can come in and talk to me anytime he wants. You know, but he's a pretty classy guy. I like him. You know, and you're my friend, so it's a different story. You know, but it's just, you know, that's a whole different class. You know, yeah. But I mean, and he's a great guy. And
but
he's probably listening.
But there's also one thing too that I've noticed, and that's when you can tell somebody what you see could be happening for them as far as a love relationship or a job or whatever, but things can change. And I see that. I've heard a few that's come back and said, "Well, this didn't happen because you said it was going to happen. It didn't happen." The point is, that person was the individual that created that change. She took a left instead of a right. So she's not with this guy now. She's, you know, she's by herself. So, you know, the point is, psychics can only read or predict, and, you know, on things that they see could possibly be. It's like the weather.
Mm-hmm.
The weather's a prediction as well.
Yeah, and the free will concept is still there.
Right.
So your actions today may be leading up to this point, but your actions tomorrow can change it.
In other words, what I'm saying is learn to try to think for yourself. It's mainly used with common sense.
Yes.
Common sense that we all have. That is very much intuitive when you need it to be. it's where it's intuitive when you need it to be, like mother's intuition. So,
I watch so many of these calls come in, and it's exactly what you say, Quinny. I mean, and what you're saying, Kathy, when they come in and they do try to hold your feet to the fire about something you said, and I'm really careful when I see these come in. I look at them and I'm thinking, wow, if I say just the wrong thing, it's going to come back. And, I really try to get them to understand it is their responsibility. You know, the future is not fixed. It's an indeterminate scale. It based on what you decide you're going to do at any one moment, you can change that outcome in an infinite variety of ways. And that's what we try to get them to understand. They seem to think it's like a fixed model, and, you know, there's a point in space, and, you know, if you do this, this will happen. Well, there's no guarantee, you know. So in psychic sense, you know, sensibilities are real, but they're not. They're only probability. They're not a fixed point in space that's going to, you know, come true every time, you know.
Yeah, I've actually told
that way.
I've actually told people, don't quote me on it. It is a possibility. Call me back in 2 weeks and let me know what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. My mother is an excellent psychic, and she's got mediumistic skills. You know, I mean, I got this from someplace. And we had a recent incident here at the house, which was a good psychic, you know, a good lesson in psychic utilization, because she kept on seeing fire in her head and the house on fire. And we have an instant hot water heater, and I had installed this thing, you know, and I am no handyman. For God's sakes, please, you know, in the future, God, goddess, all that is, do not have me do lots of mechanical things because it's not my deal. I mean, I'm great with ghost hunting. I can build devices and all that, but when it comes to hooking up, you know, massive quantities of electricity and gas and explosive things, not
well,
my type of
thing. You're a rocket scientist.
Yeah, I'm a rocket. You know, rocket scientist, but don't make me do some of these other things that are, you know, that are just outside my boundary. But I hooked this thing up, and it turned out one of the regulators I had on there was bad, and I didn't know it, and it had a small leak. And it turned out Mom was just getting these overriding feelings, and she called in the gas company and had it checked, and sure enough, we were within a couple of weeks of the house actually getting blown apart by this thing. And it wasn't so much that I did it wrong, it's just I didn't know this one piece was bad, you know. And so while they were at it, they went out and checked, and because I was smelling gas out in the back near the main tank that, you know, the propane company fills up. And sure enough, that regulator was bad too, and that was leaking fumes all over the yard.
Oh, wow.
You know, her intuition was, you know, really at full alert. That's proper use of psychic skills. That's listening to the intuition coming through, and it's giving you cues and, you know, using your subconscious to, you know, put the fear of God into you because there's something really wrong that's going to happen. And that's generally the case with most psychic phenomena. It's a fear thing based on, you know, some real imminent disaster that's about to occur.
Yeah. Like I keep telling you and Kathy, I moved out of Jersey City because I had a sudden fear of flood zones. There's only three ways to get out of Jersey City, and they all flood. I'm still waiting to see what happens. And that was 2 years ago, but maybe 2 years ago. But I think Spirit knows that, excuse my French, I dragged my ass. So they told me way ahead of time to get out of there. So I would. But I'm still waiting to see what happens.
Dominica said something in here, and I think it's beautiful. I just love the way she thinks. She said, maybe suggest they say, I love and approve of myself exactly as I am 10 times a day for 2 weeks, then call and report the good news. But I told her, I said, that's the hardest thing to convince people at times when they call because it's easier to love others than themselves. And it really is. They want other people to do the loving for them. But I agree with her. You have to love yourself before you can expect anybody to love you.
Absolutely right.
Very, very.
You know, it's funny. I'm going to be on, I think it's January 11th or 12th of next year. I'm going to be traveling to an area near Sebastopol, California. And I'm going to be seeing John Edward in person. And I'll be up near the front row, but not quite, you know, I'll be off to his left when he's appearing. And I made the personal decision, you know, it would be nice to have a reading, but I'm really there to just kind of observe his techniques and learn from him, you know, and to just let be what happens, you know, and Dom, what Dom said there kind of reminded me of that. It's like, just just take what's happening and accept yourself and accept what's going to happen for things that you're going on with you and try to learn from it at that moment in time. And if you're meant to be read or you're meant to be going through certain things, you will, you know, you can affect some of the outcome by, you know, improving your odds by doing some things that make sense, you know, but other than that, it's part of your lesson plan to go experience stuff. And then see what happens, and then you know, participate in that. And that's what we see so often. A lot of these people that come in and do want readings and things, they hand their futures over to you, you know. And that's the part that I always bounce it back at them. I go, it's your existence, it's your universe. You need to be in charge of your boat, you know. You know, here's your oars, and you know, send them back in with their oars, and hopefully they'll do that. And some of them get the message, and some like keep calling other shows or call me back again, and I keep handing their oars back to them and going, So I don't know, but
John, everyone, every single person, their psychic abilities of any kind. It's like a fingerprint. We're all different. And we don't use the same techniques. We use our own techniques, you know. And, yeah, to get pointers or whatever from other people are great, but even if you use those pointers, you end up taking it and twisting it to suit you. You have to.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just want to see John in person. I've had the opportunity to see, a couple of very well-known mediums in person working, including, one that was like I sat next to and we were talking and I was getting some good advice from her on technique and just watching her at work was just amazing. But, you know, to see John at work, that's mainly it's just so that I understand because I'm interested in doing gallery readings at one point down the road. I feel I can do that. I'm being tested on air, you know, and really pushing it. And, you know, the mediumship training classes, the meditation work, all these things is, you know, going towards an end. And I see that and I'm pushing on that because, you know, I want it. And not only that, the other side's really letting me know they'd like me to do that. And it's my decision whether or not I want to do that. And I do want that. I would like to do that. So it's really, to me, it's more of a field trip for, you know, for my, you know, and benefit. But, I mean, that's a conscious choice on my part. And that's what I see so often when I get reading, people with readings coming in. They are, the ones that are looking for the psychic thing are not. They're not in control of the boat. They need to be just sitting out and deciding what they want, and so often they don't know. I really think there are a lot of people walking around the planet that just don't know what they want in life, you know. And some of them, unfortunately, are middle aged or older, and they've never learned that. And all you need to do is take a little time and confront yourself, you know. And that's the thing. I'm 51 years old, and I've got quite a few good years left in me, and I can't pack enough of the experiences in because I really appreciate the gift of life. You know, I've almost died too many times. So to me, it's like, get out there and experience all that crap you can, because, you know, once you end this particular incarnation, that one's done. You know, so that's why I hop in fighter planes and go flying and do crazy stuff, you know, and stand in front of galleries and do stuff. So I just recommend that to people calling in for readings. Hey, get out there and live. You know, because, you know, the alternative to me is unthinkable. I don't know.
But tomorrow, Gwenny and I are looking for anybody in the chat room, you know, in our chat room tomorrow or whatever, that want to come and join us for the show to learn to read others and to help them in, you know, bettering their abilities or whatever, however way they want to do it.
That is so neat.
That's interesting.
I got to work.
Aw.
I think that's the neatest thing. I mean, it's literally a stand-up night for mediums. I mean, you're really giving people the chance to test their mettle, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, in a supportive environment, too. I mean, that's the best part, you know? There's no risk in it, you know? And so what, you know, if you miss a few? I mean, the best mediums don't always hit it right on. It's maybe 60, 70%. You know, accuracy, you know, some nights maybe a little better. So,
well,
yeah,
a lot of times with that is because a lot of people will not let go, you know, where you can get that total energy to find, you know, to find that one spot of the question they're asking.
Yeah. Well,
some people are just closed off, closed-minded, and they come in wanting you to read them, and with them being closed, you can't read them but so much.
Yeah. That's exactly it, you know. But for the ones that want to try, I think that's a really original idea. I got into it because of you, you know, Kathy. I mean, you know, when we started doing some of this stuff in February, and boom, you know, it's grown in leaps and bounds ever since. But providing a place is just, you know, I mean, you know, and, you know, for them to come, I mean, that's cool. What got you guys going on that? That just came out of the blue. That's something I just heard about tonight, and I'm going, wow. How did that happen?
I just heard about it yesterday.
Yeah, I ran it by her before I said anything. But Nick and I, we're trying to hash out something for him as well. So, like, he doesn't do enough, but anyway, we all do enough. So I'm just proud to have all of y'all on Kathy's Distant Echoes.
Thank you.
Can I tell my story real quick?
Yeah.
You don't
mind?
I mean, you heard. Kathy heard it last night after I woke up, and you heard it today in an email.
Yeah.
But I have this thing. We all know I've had trouble astral projecting, and I normally end up in a state where you're just going into it, and you're kind of stuck there. And I've been attacked in that state before. And last night I went into that attack, but something felt different. I felt the blankets move. I felt my legs move. I felt someone sitting down, them draping my legs over their lap. And it was Richie. And I still can't see. He's still a shadow to me. But I knew it was him, and I heard that deep Polish accent, "Are you nervous?" And the way he rolled his R in the nervous, it's like, "Am I what?" And he got very antsy, like he would when I was talking to him on the phone or however. And, "Are you nervous?" "Nervous." And I'm like, "No, it's you. Why would I be? I just can't see." And he went to kiss me. And I went to kiss him back, but somewhere in that state, I was starting to come out, go back in, come out, go back in. And I went to kiss him when I was going out, and I got a mouthful of blanket. I'm like, damn.
That sucks.
You wake up with a mouthful of cotton going, "God darn it." That just didn't work for me.
Teddy bear.
We got to try this again. I will try to get into, I don't know how I go into that state. I just did. I guess I relaxed enough. I don't understand it, but I will attempt to do it again.
You know, I had it was an interesting time yesterday with Spencer. He did something that I'd recommended for a long time to a lot of people, but it was surprising. He says, "I want to show you something." And I go, "What?" And he opens up his computer and calls me over and says, "Check it, take a look." And I mentioned to him to record all of his experiences that he could. He had a detailed log for every single paranormal experience at his home, which is haunted. And, dates and times and people and full incident reports. He had that going back for a year, and it was really gratifying to see that. And I recommend to you, Quinny, keep a little logbook, especially the stuff with Richie. I mean, you're having enough of it happen. It's so consistent. I just think you've got number one, it would help you kind of catalog everything going on and see the larger patterns at work. And the other thing would be you've got the makings of a book there, really.
He tried showing me images. It was like my room but a different room, and I was there. And I don't know if it was him or someone else, but he was showing me all these different things. Yet we went into some kind of concert, and I was following these two people around trying to get a look at the person that I think was with me. And I couldn't, so I don't know if he was showing me a different reality or just that I don't want to say replacement because no one can replace him. But it was just odd, and I wasn't getting it.
Well, just keep doing, you know, the thing is when the common thread I'm seeing is you're right in the between awake and not awake state when these things are happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, as soon as you wake up, grab that, you know, grab a voice recorder or, you know, have a pencil and paper ready and just get it down. You know, that's like all critical to have that. Because you'll get the gist of most of the symbols before your short-term memory kind of loses it. And he's given you a lot of good stuff in there. I mean, it's very real what's happening to you.
Yeah.
So it just seems to me there's a very special thing going on with you. Now, I don't hear this so often with people who've had somebody pass on, you know, close to them, and then this constant relationship continuing. It's very, very unique what you have happening here.
Yeah,
you know, he's like, you know, you two, you know, had this great relationship, and then on top of it, you've got mediumistic and psychic skills that are very advanced, and so did he. And
yeah.
That's continuing on, and it's a very beautiful thing.
Yeah. He was just an amazing person, and I know before he died and he went into one of his meditations, he had scared off whatever was bothering him, and he came to me during one of the meditations. And he scared off what was ever here. Because like I said earlier, when I was in that state before, I was attacked a couple of times. And I was actually afraid to go into that state again. Last night was so comfortable. And I felt him. And I heard him. Mm-hmm. And I saw him, except the details weren't there. It was still shadowy. But I knew it was him. It was just an amazing experience.
Yeah, it's attacks like that are fairly common. We recently, I won't go into the details too much, but we recently had a return of one of our problem entities here on the ranch, and I took to using some of my own advice, which I give to others quite often, which is the use of stones of various types, you know, black tourmaline, you know, sea salt, blessings, that kind of thing. And this was taken care of, you know, rather quickly. You know, and I tend to, in my meditation space, use tourmaline especially. It seems to work very well for me. But it's not necessarily the only stone. I'm just, you know, I just go with what works for me. But you can research these things, and that's just another aspect, too, that you can take some active steps to protect yourself with mm-hmm. these materials that do seem to have an effect on negative entities. And,
I know he's not going to let anything happen to me. You know he's strong. Kathy knows he's strong. He's locked me in my bedroom. the first week he was gone, and I know I'm completely comfortable, and I think even if I go on a case where I'm looking at the information given, maybe I shouldn't. I know that even if I decide to go, he's gonna be there to basically kick anyone's butt that tries to mess with me.
Yeah, it's just still, it doesn't hurt to have some, you know, visualizations for good protection and, you know, all that kind of thing. I really thought that we had our entities, you know, really kind of covering the bases at all times, and that's when it was kind of surprising to me when we didn't have that. There was like a lapse, I think, in whatever was going on, and it kind of, I think maybe it was purposely done to get my attention. And when that happened, it's like my mother came to me and she said, "This is going on." And I says, "I'll take care of it." And she says, "Please do." Because she wasn't sure it was something I brought home or, you know, what. But we took care of it, you know, and it's over with. But, you know, psychic attack is real, whether it be originate from the other side itself or you end up with somebody here on this side is directing something at you. It's a very real thing. And, you know, you can, you know, Richie's doing that with you, but it doesn't hurt to have a little extra fortification and a backup. It just doesn't. So, you know, to me, it was surprising to see how quickly it worked in our case. I mean, we went from 2 days of it happening to, you know, it hasn't happened since I stepped in, and this is in the last month. So,
oh, good.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'll have to do some reading up on that and see what I can do.
Well, you know, when you do your meditation, just you know, call out for, you know, just the highest good. You know, ask your guides to come in and clear the space. You know, just, you know, even if you don't use stones or anything, I kind of like stones because I just don't have to think about them too much. And then, you know, about once a month I clean them. You know, I'll put them on the ground or I'll set them out in sunlight or moonlight and just kind of let them discharge all that negative energy back to the earth and transmute and then pull them back in and they're good as new. You know, but at the same time, you could just ask your guides to come in, you know, just make it part of your meditation. And that's another very valid way to go. So
that's true.
Yeah. And they'll step in, and Richie will be there. You just it's just a conscious thing to do, you know. I do a little of both, you know. I mean, yeah, a little extra fortification here, a few extra guards at the bastions here. Hey, you know, throw in some salt. Hey, look what we got. We got clean space. Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? We've had a great show. We're 6 minutes out from actually 5 minutes now from the end of it here. I just thank everybody for calling in. I mean, we've got a great night tonight.
Can I say something before we hang up? I just wanted to say that true psychics are people, too, and we're not always right, and times change. Crappy psychics are self-centered and only have deep pockets. And learn to think for yourself.
That's absolutely true.
Well, they're self-centered.
Yeah, and when the pockets get deep, you know they've sold out.
Yep.
Well, they're not thinking about anybody but themselves, so how can they be psychic? A true psychic is someone that has a heart and thinks of others first.
Yeah. Now, as hard as it be, when Brown first started, she was good.
She had a good heart.
But she had a good heart, and then it just... You know, Montel took her on, and things just started getting too much, and things started piling up, and then she went from being like 90% right to 70% right, and she kept dropping and dropping.
She got self-centered.
Yeah. She sold out.
She was all that fired. Box of chocolate.
Yeah. It's just like with anything else. If you're good at something and you overdo it and you're all about the money, something's going to happen in there where
Haven't you ever heard that saying, you lose yourself when you stop thinking of others?
Yes.
That's what happens.
Yeah, I think... you know, I love doing this work, you know, and I like the idea of the gallery readings and all that, but I want to really watch out for that. That's the number one thing I don't want. I've watched a number of the real famous mediums and psychics go kind of that way. And, you know, there's got to be a balancing point where that you if you commit your life to it and you're going to earn money at it, great, but don't forget who you're serving. You know, and it's definitely not yourself. this work is about love, you know, really, love of other people.
Very much.
There was a psychic, real quick, there was a psychic in Hackettstown, New Jersey. She had the same name I did, Genoveffa, Genya. You can go in there and have $2 to scratch to get, two quarters to scratch together, $2, whatever you can afford, you gave it to her. She lived right next to St. Mary's. Anything she earned went to St. Mary's. For the food drive, for the food pantry, whatever was needed that week. She never asked for more than you can afford.
Yeah. That's absolutely a good way to do it.
Reading, too, is also an exchange of energy and an exchange of energy of love. And when you lose that, you lose your ability.
Yes.
There's a story real quick. It's by Dion Fortune, and it's called Moon Magic. It's a very old book, and it was Dion Fortune's last book. And I'll get real quickly because we just got a couple of minutes. But there's one point in which the main character in Vivian Le Fay is describing how, you know, her gifts that she's been endowed with by, quote, the goddess. and that she manifested only what she needed to be very comfortable. She could have had all the wealth she wanted, but she managed to, she got by with just what she needed to support her work in service to the goddess. And that's kind of the way that I see it with what we do. You know, earn enough to be comfortable, you know, with whatever you do. Maybe don't make the money directly from, quote, the mediumship, but ask for to be, you know, provided for, and then the rest of it will take care of itself, you know. And I think that's kind of the right approach. So, but hey, we're about to end. We got 15 seconds, and we can roll on into off-stream here. So for all of you out there in the chat room, thank you for being part of the show. We got 10 seconds left, and so everybody say goodnight.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Love you guys. And then we'll just keep on here. And, yeah, I agree with what you guys are saying, especially some of the things. Although I will say on this program, the thoughts and opinions expressed on this program are purely those of our guests and not based on fact or absolute proof of blah, blah, blah. So that way we just cover ourselves from being sued by Sylvia Brown.
Well, I didn't say anything bad about her. I just, you know, she was good.
I've always liked her.
Yeah,
I
like
Sylvia. She had a great heart. She just lost herself somewhere along the way.
Or, you know what? She worked so much, too. I figured the woman's got, well, she's getting older. She's pretty old, you know, now. She's getting up there. And she's probably just really tired.
Yeah.
I love
her. She took on too much, and she lost it. The one, who was it? I talk about her book all the time. I have to think about it for a minute. She's actually in the Facebook network that I started up with you guys. Except Karen, I don't have your Facebook.
Oh, I'll have to look you up.
I'm under John, and I'm under Kathy as well, so I can.
Okay.
He's on mine.
Me too. I'm on both you guys on theirs.
Okay, cool. But what is her name?
Who's that?
Doherty. Jane Doherty. Yes, Jane Doherty. I've met her a few times. I took a couple of her workshops with New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. And she is the sweetest woman. She doesn't ask for a lot. She was actually on, she started to be on a TV show, but they started to get fake, and she backed out of it right away. But she has a great book. It's called Awakening the Mystic Gift. And unfortunately, I put it down while I was moving, and I haven't had a chance to pick it up again. But it really, really had me mesmerized, because it goes through what she went through.
Awakening the Mystic Gift. I just wrote that down. Yeah, that's kind of the same thing with Cheryl Booth. I've been really talking a lot about her, her book about her brother's, her brother who had this terrible disability. And my brother is Johnny Angel. Real personalized story, and just a lot of love and heart in it, you know, and you just couldn't put it down. And I just am blown away by Cheryl. So I'll definitely look this one up, too. I mean, I'm reading all of these books I can with these really great mediums. You know, it just, you find out, I mean, some of our stories are so similar. You know, it seems like there's a regular factory for mediums on the other side, and we come through and have these same experiences. And then, you know, it's not surprising we all turn to this. You know, I don't know. Well, I've had a great time tonight, you guys.
Oh, so did I.
Thank you.
As usual.
I love you guys.
I love
and
you guys.
I put Jane's link in chat.
Oh, okay. I grabbed that.
JaneDoherty.com.
Got it.
You know who I was listening to today?
Oh.
Who's that?
Lisa Williams on Hay House Radio.
I like Lisa.
Is that the British gal?
Yes. Yeah,
yes.
I've seen her on her the TV show. She walks around you know, she goes shopping and she'll just see someone and have to, you know, talk to them about someone hanging around.
I haven't seen the TV show.
What is it called? Have to look her up real fast.
Yeah, I want to ask you a question.
She was doing
John.
A medium thing, but she was bringing in people's lost animals.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
She was bringing in animal spirits. It was really kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I never, you know, heard that one before.
It is called Lisa Williams Life. Oh, come on. Give me the whole thing.
I like Lisa Williams.
But she seems to be a real sweetie.
She's friends with John Holland, John.
With John Holland? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I read her book, and it's just her story is just amazing. I mean, she was absolutely dead set meant to be doing what she's doing. She's incredibly talented. I would just love to meet her and just take her hand.
Lisa Williams, Life Among Dead.
That's the one I've got, the book. Yeah, and it was funny because that's the book I was reading one of my senior management came up to me and I'm reading this book with the title down on the on the table and I didn't want anybody to come up to me and here's my senior manager comes up and he goes, John, what are you reading? And I go, oh crap. Flip it over. And he goes, his eyes got wide as hell. He's going, you're reading that? And I'm going, well, yeah. And he goes, why are you reading that? Well, you want the honest truth? I got this gift. And then he'd like treat me like I was like a leper for a while. But
did you say,
over,
I see dead people.
Yeah. Talk to dead people, and I'm a scientist too. Yeah. It was actually quite humorous. I mean, he's a great guy. I mean, he's looking at me and he realizes I'm not like going to bite his head off because I think about dead people funny. But oh, next to Lisa Williams, I don't know.
John, I'm curious. Have you ever seen anything happened like this before? Why is it when you have two different psychics that get together on an investigation, it's like they got to battle each other as far as one wanting all the glory? I just, you know, that happened with me when I went to the Shanley with Patty, and I can say it now. I'm not going to say it on air, but it was like, you know, we were supposed to be working together, but it was like I was stepping on her toes.
We're still in recording, by the way. We're still streaming.
Okay. I don't
know. Did I say that out loud?
You know, we're in archive mode, but I agree with you. I mean, there's always going to be in any, you know, human relationships, and probably even on the other side to some degree, some level of competition. But you know, I don't know. I mean, if that happens, then it's unfortunate. But, you know, to me, if you get a bunch of mediums that can work together, you know, maybe you have to weed through a few relationships to find that. But I think that those things do happen. I look for the positive stuff. The negative is, okay, you know, fine. If you want to be weird about it, I won't work with you again. You know?
Well, that's what it was, yeah. I didn't want to work with her again.
Yeah, it's just, to me, you know, I know I'm not so good that I can't be wrong, you know, and to work with someone else who's, you know, experienced and maybe having a better day than I am for whatever reason. To me, that just seems to be a natural response to this work because it's hard enough as it is. So if you do find somebody with gifts, you know, that you can get along with, I think it makes, both of you more than the sum of your, you know, your total parts. And that would be an ideal situation.
We got along. It was just when we got together and we're going to work on the same level. She didn't want to work that way. She wanted to be solo. And, you know, I was willing to, you know, both of us to work together, but not her. So I was like, okay, whoopity-doo.
It's just, I don't know. I don't understand that. I mean, because to me, spirituality, you know, when I sit down in front of this chair, I mean, I do a prayer before every show. I raise my hands to heaven and say, okay, you know, be with me. you know, make me the best I can be for this, you know, and some nights are better than others. But it'd be, I mean, if you're doing field work, it's even harder. I mean, you know, Karen, you've worked with me, you know what it's like out there, mm-hmm. you know, and you're really, and even then I do that, you know, I mean, privately before I start that stuff, I'm looking deep, I reach deep down and go, wow. And if you have another, somebody with skills that are, you know, mediumistic, psychic, whatever, that can help you, good Lord, you know, use it. But, you know, yeah, when you get the personality stuff in, yeah, I get tired even thinking about it. I do. I've seen it. I've seen what you're talking about, you know, Kathy. It's unfortunate. You just go, well, that person has a lot to learn and honor their energy and then move on.
Oh, I did. Really. I said, have the floor. There you go.
Yeah. It's just,
I'll go my way and you go your way.
Yeah. I mean, it's just an ego thing, and ego, I don't know, I remember a
take
book
away.
That, yeah, John Denver, you know, God rest his soul, and he's on the other side making great music, he was big into Aikido, and it was a book on Aikido, and he had helped write this book, and there was a very famous photo that I love from this book, and you open it up, and here's this picture. You know, before you go into this dojo, because I've done karate, you know, and had some training in that. But this Aikido lodge was really great because this dojo, it says, put your shoes over here before you go in. And it says, check your ego at the door. And it had a little box to put your ego in. And then you could go in and do your work.
I easier said than done. I like that. A lot easier said than done there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it would be kind of like a neat thing to do for mediums, you know, just make sure you have a little box that says, hey, check your ego here before you go read people. You know, it kind of...
The point is with mediums, though, is that we all use our emotions. So that's kind of hard to check your ego at the door unless you don't work with your ego to begin with. She works totally with her ego, and as much as I love her, I won't never go and work with her again.
Well, you can't escape being human, but what you can do is when you see yourself drifting into particular way of, drifting into something that's maybe not the best way to handle that part of a reading, you check yourself right then. You know, I mean, I'll catch myself during readings and people will be saying stuff and I start to kind of get, you know, a little bit perturbed, or I look at it from my human interest, and then I have to silently to ask my guides, what do I do? You know, and invariably they give me the right answers. I mean, I just feel it coming through me, and I'm just a telephone. That's all I am. I'm not, you know, and when I put my, when I ground myself that way and I realize I'm just there to give a message, you know, and that's my special gift in this area is that I'm a telephone, then it puts it in perspective.
But
you know,
I have come to learn that when you work together, not every psychic gets all the full information. So when you've got two or three working together, there could be information there that one picks up that the other one doesn't. And it's kind of, if you work together, it would be a great thing to do, you know, for others. But most
Absolutely.
Of them don't want to work with them.
Well, it's the case of, you know, in my family, we've had situations where we've had the number of us have picked up on things ahead of time before there was a major upheaval that was about to take place. Most specifically, in July 2001, my aunt and I both were picking up 2 months ahead of time, 9/11. You know, we were picking up on a major event. We couldn't tell you what it was, but we were aware there was something really wrong about to happen, and we were trying to be as ready as we could. And when it hit, you know, we were not surprised. And it was so funny because I remember that morning when that happened, and I saw the initial video. I got up to the whole attack taking place, and I knew instantly who did it. I knew what their motivation was. I mean, my mother remembered me. She's going, who could do a thing like this? And I just suddenly, just out of the blue, I said, this is a bin Laden operation. And she goes, how do you know that? And I'm going, it just is. Trust me. And then, you know, within a matter of an hour, we had, you know, the intelligence services and all that saying what it was. So, but I mean, you know, for more mundane stuff, yeah, I think that if you can get mediums and psychics to work together, they're more, it's just like I said before, they're more than the sum of their parts. They can bring together and bring life into something that's much more. If you've seen those murder investigations, things where they bring the psychics in and they all help each other, and they pull in all this great stuff, and they're combining their efforts, it's like the most beautiful thing.
Yeah, you know, the massive energy, you can validate each other, you know?
Yes, I agree, yeah.
You know, I normally don't like, I like the idea of psychic kids. The TV show, I don't like the fact that it's a TV show because it might, you know, harm the kids socially and they'll have trouble in school and such. But the one thing I liked with these, I think it was two kids, a girl and a boy, they brought them to a detective and had them train.
Yeah, I saw that one.
I like that idea, you know, and the detective was all for it because they can use help wherever they can get it.
I, it's funny. I've met Chip and I talked to him a little bit about psychic kids and some of the stuff he's been through with it. And really nice guy. I mean, you know, Kathy, you've got your opinions about him, but I've dealt with him, and you know, and I think that the premise of the show is pretty good.
Yeah.
The thing is, the valuable thing I think I see in that is, number one, so many kids, you know, I myself, you know, was manifesting this stuff as a kid. Kathy, you too.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it's, this stuff was happening as a kid, and I was so blessed to have a family that understood it. You know, most kids don't get that. They're left out there in the dust, and their parents don't know even the slightest thing about it. And you know, they're doing a real service, you know, with that show. I mean, you may not agree with everything they do, but it's getting the awareness out there, and you're dealing with some, especially with some of these school systems that are dealing with exceptional children, you know, indigos and that kind of thing. Yeah, these school systems are filled with some really angry, messed up people that are treating kids like machines, and they're, you know, and here these beautiful children are confused and lost with parents that don't know what's happening, and it's just getting
they had me whacked.
What's that?
I said that was mine.
They thought I was crazy.
I never told my parents what happened in the middle of the night. You know, I recently told my mom, and she's like, "Oh no, that never happened. You were little. You were dreaming." My room came to life at night.
Yeah. Well,
you know, and they had a funny way of doing things because they would show themselves as toys. And move around the room. It's toys that I did not own. And I'd be sitting there watching these animated objects moving around my room. I had a canopy bed, and they would actually put I was wide awake, trust me. They would actually put, like, this big fish tank in between the two posts. And I'd have fish there, and, you know, I'd have little tiny shadows darting all across the room. And it's like, my mom's like, "Oh no, you were dreaming." No, I wasn't.
Well, I was so lucky because my family—it was a whole different story. I've got this line of mediums going back, you know, all these generations, and. You know, when I started having my experiences, my mother, you know, took me aside and said, "Yeah, you know, and here's what you're hearing, here's what's happening, and it's no big deal." And, you know, I was seeing spirits at 5 years old, you know, I was seeing, you know, little sparkles, that's what I called them, the sparkles. And they'd follow me around, and I'd had stuff like that. I mean, I look back now, and I look at somebody who doesn't believe in any of that, you know, but it happened. I mean, I can't run away from that memory. It's real. You know, and so much has happened since. I mean, I'm absolutely convinced of the other side. But, you know, for the
but
poor family.
You're one in a million, John. You're blessed as one in a million because most parents would not even recognize or acknowledge that their kids had any gifts. Just that they're either crazy and need to be at a psychiatrist every 30 seconds or something. But
yeah.
And then that was mine.
Well, my parents did that to me, too. I ended up going to psychiatrists.
Yeah.
I went from the time I was 10 years old till I was 17.
Yeah.
Got put in a mental institution at 10 until I was, well, I was in there, let's say, at least for 3 months.
Well, they thought I was going to be mentally handicapped when I was a baby because they said I had problems, and they said I had a brainwave of a teenager and stuff, and that's why my parents got to adopt me, because they figured I'd be hard to adopt because I was weird. And my dad said I would just stare. He said I would just kind of stare off into space.
I did that myself. I didn't make you crazy.
Yeah, because I did that. My grammar school, without my parents' knowledge or permission, gave me an IQ test and told my parents that I was extremely slow.
That happened to me.
They put me in general education class. I lasted a day. They sent me back, and there's nothing wrong with her.
Yeah. My mother went down to the school and threatened to sue their combined rear ends and made them give me the test again, and I scored. Because I'd had a bad day and been spanked, and I scored at an imbecile level. And then when I was re-given the test, I scored at near genius.
Yeah.
And they like decided to leave it alone after that.
Yeah, I was just bored.
I mean, there's society wants to put so many labels on people. And unfortunately, you know, a single test is not, you know, it's just a data point. You guys all just confirmed that we've all had similar experiences, you know, if there's one thing I would do, it would be in my particular part of this, it'd be I would follow kind of what Psychic Children is doing and just trying to get kids to understand that this stuff is real. And I mean, you heard Kayla, you know, she called tonight, cute little kid, you know, and she's got an open mind, and you know, she's gifted herself, and she's just looking for answers, you know, and you just try to help them, you know, and that's what we do.
Very true. I was either a hypersensitive person, an HSP, which is being studied by psychologists now, or it kind of falls into the empath category. And I think that was my problem. I was experiencing everybody's emotions. I would cry at the drop of a hat. I still cry
you
at
too,
commercials,
yeah.
But you know.
I used to cry all the time too. You know.
Yeah, I
ended up in the principal's
office, and I can just feel it. I tried to explain that to people, and I thought, well, I didn't know. I thought everybody felt like I did, and now I'm starting to think that no. Now that I'm learning stuff and learning more about myself, because the feelings, emotions that run through me actually can become it's physical pain, you know?
Yeah, I had a couple of things happen that I started to question, and I started to do my research. And, John, I showed you the site, the Oklahoma Paranormal Research Society.
Yeah.
Their cameras, I started watching those, and I started picking up on things. And then I started confirming, okay, well, I'm seeing this in my house late at night, and I'm seeing it on camera. There's something going on. I would actually see the little tiny disturbances in the video, and I'd try to point it out, and other people can't see it. I think I've always thought it was my monitor.
No. I don't know. I just think that, you know, it's like in my case, you know, I was born with severe disability. You know, I was given what's called induced aphasia, and or acquired aphasia, and it's a condition that is not too distant from what's the disease where they sit and rock? Kids kind of in their own world. I'm trying to remember the name
autism.
Of it.
Autism.
Autism. It's kind of a kissing cousin to autism. And I was very language deficit. And my grandfather, being a neurosurgeon, and he did research, neurosurgery and neuropsychiatry, and he knew exactly what to do to work with me. And he designed my program, and he died, not long after I was born. I was like 3 years old when he passed. But he affected my life, and I'm one of the few in the world that have ever recovered from this fully. I mean, to be where I'm at now, no one would have ever thought I'd come this far. But I've always believed with my particular skill set in this, field of the paranormal and the things I do is a result of all that, the damage had its purpose. And I think that I agreed to that at the time I was brought in. And I believe that that each of us, and the three of you, each agreed to particular things that that were limiting to you, that on the surface appear like they were bad, but when you look at it now, that opened the door to other things and gave you the flip side was here are the positives and the silver linings of that. And
what
so you can't
who
be what you. Yeah, Kathy, in your particular case, with your physical disabilities and things that happened to you, God saw to it that you had, just as it with me, these things, are compensated for, and I do think that's part of the mission, that we both have.
Yeah, it made me who I am, and I appreciate all of the things that I've learned, although it's still painful and everything, big whoop, but, I'm human, so I've got these human aches and pains like everyone else. There's no need to start bringing it out to everybody's attention just because, it's me. Whoopity-doo. I'm here to try to make everybody else's life, I feel, a little better light because everybody has a bad day.
Yeah.
Well, it's an example, to the world, but it's also, I really believe it just seems like every one of these people I see that are really good in this business end up with, when you look into their history a little bit, they've been hit with some major stuff they've had happen, whether it be a hard life or a physical thing that's happened to them that most people would see as bad, and then it's turned into a positive. And Quinny, and Karen, I'm sure you the way that I've listened to you both, you've had that happen to you too, and yet you're both sensitive.
Not so much.
And Karen as well. Karen
I've been
well.
A pretty I've had a pretty blessed life, so I can't really say.
Can
I've
I say something? Have y'all ever noticed that no matter how bad we hurt or feel at times, when we are out there to try to get a smile to somebody else and we do get that smile from them and make their day feel a little bit better, hopefully, that we end up feeling better?
Kathy, I checked myself in for 10 days back in 99 or 2000, I forget. And there was this one little lady from the nursing home that they brought in, and she would be up at night. She sounded like a billy goat. Help me! It was so funny. We'd start cracking up and laughing, but I got close to her. She really didn't say much, and I was talking to her while having lunch one day. Her nurse was there, and she cracked the biggest smile.
Aww.
And the nurse turns to me and said, "That's the first time she smiled since she's been here."
Oh, bless her heart.
Yeah.
Guys, I've got to get off the phone, and I love y'all, and thank you, John.
Yeah.
I love you
welcome.
Too, Kathy.
Yep,
and I love you guys. See you Thursday, John.
Yeah,
sounds
thank
good.
You so much, Kathy. Appreciate having you come in tonight.
Oh, hush. I love you guys. Bye.
I love
you too.
Enjoyed talking. It was fun.
I love you, Karen.
Bye, Karen.
Bye, Quinny.
Bye,
John. Bye, Kathy.
Bye, John.
Bye, John.
It's from Walton.
Nighttime boy.
All right, you girls. It's been great having you all on. I love you all. You're the best.
Give my best to your mom and dad.
Will do.
Yes, please. Give them all our best.
Okay, will do. And to our 325 caller, you listened in all that time, too. So 325,
oh
thank
God.
You. We had a listener all the time, so I thought about 325 now. But, hey, just had a great time tonight. You know, we make a great team, by the way, everybody, and I hope we all talk again. We really interact well. I think we make a great team.
I enjoy it. I haven't talked this much. I don't think I ever talked this much.
I was going to say yesterday. I'm just kidding.
Well, my parents will tell you, I would sit in the car from New Jersey to Florida without saying a word.
Yeah.
And there were times when mom would pick me up from school, because I went to school 40 minutes away, and she'd know I'd been had a hard day or something, and she's like, Jen, just scream, just let it out, say something, yell, do something. I couldn't scream, and I couldn't converse. I was just quiet. But yet my first words were early, and it wasn't just a word, it was a full blown sentence. So.
Well, I just think, I think we're meant to be doing some of this more together. So I'm going to invite more of that. Maybe every so often, just going to plant the idea with you guys. Periodically have we all get on and just kind of have a chat, you know.
Are you
guys up for that? Yeah.
It's wonderful because, we're all so much alike in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've been through a lot of the same stuff.
I just took note of the fact that Dom and everybody were saying, extend. And they're like, I think we hit a winner here. I think we have such neat experiences all together. I think I'm all for doing that. So, yeah. Let's see if we can, I'll look at some of the schedule stuff and see if we can, like, dedicate maybe a Sunday night every so often to doing this. So, I'm glad you guys like the idea.
Okay.
Okay.
I love gabbing with you guys.
All right. Well, hey. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and call it a night and sit down and check my Facebook stuff and, be a good paranormal investigator and check evidence for a little while before I go to sleep. So, anyway. Love you gals.
Love you guys too. Good night. Bye.
Good night. And this is Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio. We're going to sign off tonight. Really great show. And I'll be seeing you guys, coming up on Thursday night, Kathy's Distant Echoes at 8 o'clock Pacific. That'll be 11 o'clock Eastern. And on the new news is Friday nights. Soulstream has moved to Friday nights at 8 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 11 Eastern. And we're going to do a show Saturday, this coming Saturday night at, 9 o'clock Pacific. So until then, this is Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio. I still have a control board here running, so I'll play our closing music. And we'll see you guys later. Take care. Bye now. Listening to Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio, coming to you from the Haunted Studios here in Shingle Springs, California, live on blogtalkradio.com.
With the men of the Imperial Forces. All suspects are guilty, period. Otherwise, they wouldn't be suspect, would they?